Namaste. The question is very interesting actually. It's about ikshamrityu, leaving your body at will. So before we speak about conquest of death, physical death, because everybody immediately starts looking for physical immortality when they come to Sri Aurobindo. But there are many, many steps, and physical immortality is the last thing to come. It's the crown, 1,000 years at least. So we should not be looking for a specimen, supramental specimen who is physically immortal. If we wait for that, then the spacecraft would have gone and we would have been left behind. Because there are people who want to see that specimen before they will walk the path of yoga. Well, by the time the first specimen will come, and will come for sure, because simply because Mother and Sri Aurobindo have spoken about it, by that time the evolutionary energy would have started ebbing down. So those who get into the bus now, regardless of anything, will arrive. And those who wait for the first specimen to arrive will remain where they are. Eventually they will catch up because of the influence of the supramental being in a physically transformed matter. But there are many things which will come before that. One of them is prolongation of life at will. So meaning thereby that to an extent there will be this capacity to override all the genetic and other forces which are at play all around. Not to fully conquer them, yet to be able to prolong them. Now why should one want to prolong life? Well, for very simple reason, because sadhana has to be done in the body. And as long as the body cooperates in the process, as long as there is a work still to do, one would want to stay alive. As simple as that. And if the forces all around, they are not interested in, this, the world forces are not interested in that. They follow their own law and rhythm. They don't care about your deeper urge, your mission, your aspiration. They strike, they pick and choose. They are only focused on the body. Is the body weak? And they destroy. There may be a person with no mission, no aspiration, maybe the worst kind of person outwardly, and may live long. Simply because the forces say, okay, he is doing a good job as far as we are concerned. Because the world is constituted so much with darkness. Second thing is that as the soul expands, it becomes very difficult for matter to adapt. It becomes increasingly difficult. I was just reading that interview of Maurice Schumann with Sri Aurobindo. He had come here and he says that 3 years, in 1947, he had met Sri Aurobindo. And he felt very intuitively that Sri Aurobindo had already decided to withdraw from the body. And he said, Sri Aurobindo used the word, it seems, few years. But he, of course, the man says that I can't say for sure that everything that I have heard, I have understood. But somewhere, the body, it was very difficult to adapt. And that is why Sri Aurobindo told the mother that your body is much more prepared than mine. So once we understand that there is a play, a balance that goes on between the evolving soul in man and the body, we understand the whole mystery of existence. So that's why, with each developed grade, you need a new body. So animal consciousness is a very small soul and very like a spark. But the moment it develops, it cannot inhabit an animal soul. So all this idea that in Punarjanam you may become an animal, it's an impossibility. The form will not support. Developed soul cannot enter into that. It has to enter into a human life. But again, if it grows very fast, grows tremendously, so the human body will not be able to take it. And sometimes these beings, they come to just finish the work that they have come for, and having finished, they go back. Because being in this earth for them is a great pain. We are very attached to it, and so we think there is nothing beyond it. So we want to hang on and prolong. So why I'm saying this, that this prolonging life at will is not the way we understand. That, oh, I must continue to live. Why? Because I am such an important person, or because, I am very attached. If I go away, what will happen? None of these reasons. They come very much clearly with a particular work, a mission, and they want to complete it and go back very soon. Even Jivan Muktas are like that. So Swami Vivekananda and beings like that fall into that category. That they finish their work and then they go back. They want to go back. They are not attached that way. They find themselves a stranger in this field. Because they have a very different kind of consciousness. So, yet it is possible, and one of the first things that will happen is that though it is difficult for the physical body to contain an evolving spiritual consciousness beyond a point, at least in this yoga, because in this yoga now the consciousness is going to evolve further and further while the human body will go at a relatively slower pace, and that's why its transformation is important. But in this yoga, the force which is working behind will straight away start impacting the body and all other layers for a double adaptation. So the first thing that will happen is the ability to prolong life at will. If needed, mother would say 200 years, 300 years if the work is needed. And she has said it a number of times, and that's one reason why I really take it that when mother physically withdrew, the work was completed, whatever had to be done. Because she knew how to do that, and she had taken a route in which the work had to be done in a certain way, but that's a different story altogether. But between this prolonging life at will and another capacity which will come in the human body is the capacity to keep away from diseases. It will develop spontaneously because the touch of the supramental will liberate energies and forces and make the body spontaneously immune. So what makes us immune is our Suraksha Chakra, the subtle physical envelope. And this subtle physical envelope, which prevents diseases from entering us, is the original protection of God, you know, mask if you want to put it. So on one side, it's composed of the physical condition of the body, your diet, exercise, if you are fatigued, if you don't sleep, then this becomes weak. And second is psychological condition, cheerfulness and faith and trust, confidence in the grace. So that constitute this envelope. Now, when this envelope will be touched by the supramental force, the body as well as the psychological state within, then this will provide to this envelope nearly a practical immunity from all diseases. And that's why when Sri Aurobindo was asked that, sir, have you conquered death? He said, practically. But still death can come through three means. One was action of old age. Aging was not yet conquered. Second, he said, is accident, because it's very sudden, very violent. It may not give you enough time to react strongly. And we know that that is what happened, because at the level of the body, you have to be extremely vigilant unless you have practiced a lot of physical culture. Then you may develop a certain kind of physical intuition like that. And third, he said, was poisoning, because poisoning he had actually conquered. So he had tried already conquering poisoning when he had taken 1 kilogram of opium. But still, if it is overwhelming, then it's very difficult to, you know, stop that action. But these were the three conditions, he said, still can bring about death. About illness, he was very clear that illnesses can be conquered. It's a different thing altogether that toward the latter part of his life, he started drawing all the forces into himself, forces of darkness, forces of illness, etc., to free the earth of their major assault, like Shiva drinking poison. So that's another side of the story. But another possibility that happens, which doesn't need this yoga, but that yogis have, and that is called Ikshamrityu. So what really is Ikshamrityu, or death at will? Actually, always it is the psychic being's consent to withdraw. Always. So in a certain sense, Ikshamrityu is there in everybody, but our outer consciousness doesn't know it. So why does the psychic being try to withdraw? Well, they're supposing there is an accident and the body is badly broken. So the psychic being knows that, you know, I can't have more experiences in this body. So it withdraws because the instrument is broken. Why the accident took place? Not because the psychic being wanted it. It may happen because of a play of forces. The second is, when the psychic being wanted a certain kind of experience in a particular life, and that done, it wants to go away. This is the second part. But because we are not conscious of it, therefore we don't know. Even outer consciousness may want to survive, but deep inside, there is the psychic being has decided, no, even in a state of coma, I want to continue till, you know, a critical or a crucial landmark. So that's why this euthanasia, that, you know, if a person is in coma, just cut off the life support system, is based on a purely material understanding of the human consciousness. We don't know what is happening to the psychic being. And the mother said something very clear, beautifully and clearly about it, that how do you know that the person is not progressing inside? Your body is there, but your inner life is free. When we are in sleep, we are roaming in other world. We don't know what is happening in the other worlds, what experiences the soul is gathering, which it can gather only in contact with matter. So the second thing we must understand about Ikshamrityu is this: always invariably it is that, only we are not conscious of the soul. So when the soul, we become conscious of the soul, then we spontaneously, the soul can choose. So Ikshamrityu automatically comes as a result of becoming aware of the soul. All who are aware of the soul know the choice of the soul. And when the soul decides that, well, this is it, they can withdraw. Or they can change the decision even last moment. I remember the story of Anirban, yogi who was, you know, on his deathbed and told his disciples that I've decided to withdraw. And he was a great yogi. He is one of those who had translated the Life Divine into Bengali. And the translation was so good that when it was... And I don't know whether he had ever met Sri Aurobindo and the mother or not. He was on his own path. But when he saw the Life Divine, he said, oh, he had changed his name from Nirvan to Anirvan. That no, my realization is incomplete. And he proceeded on, along his lines, whatever it was. So when he translated, it's not a literal translation of word by word. And it was taken to Sri Aurobindo. I am told that Sri Aurobindo did not even look at it. He just held it and said, give it to the press. Instantly he knew. And I have seen translation of Life Divine from that Bengali translation and another one which from the literal English one. And if you read this one, which is from the Bengali translation, is something very beautiful. It carries within it some touch. So that apart, so he was on this deathbed and apparently deathbed, he had decided to leave. And this was told to the mother and mother sent a message to him that, but he has work to do for me. So he was told that, you know, this is the message from the Divine Mother. Oh, mother says so? Okay. Then I'll not die now. And number of instances like that you can actually, because it's your soul's choice. Of course, it doesn't mean your body will become cured. This is another instance of somebody who was continuing to linger long and lot of trouble, cough and prolonged illness. So the children of that person, they went and spoke to the mother and said, mother, he's suffering so much. And mother smiled and said, yes, because he wants to be in the body. So, if he is in the body, then he wants to be in the body, then he has to go through that process because he won't leave the body because he wants to be with the body. But there is no way that the body can be right now. It is so much broken beyond possibility of repair like that. When this was conveyed to him, he just smiled and said, oh, now I get it. And in the evening, he left the body. And mother said something very beautiful about him. Said he went, he was so full of enthusiasm to do Sri Aurobindo's work that when he left the body, he flew straight away into the solar light of Sri Aurobindo. Just because he had this enthusiasm that I want to do mother's work, Sri Aurobindo's work. So this is another instance. Of course, Amrita and Dhyuman Bhai very clearly, and I have spoken about their stories in even in one of those talks on the disciples, Pavitra Da, classic examples of Ikshamrityu. So Ikshamrityu can happen either because the psychic being has been realized, in which case it will be an Ikshamrityu. It means you are conscious of the psychic being's choice. And it's only when the psychic being says yes, now for whatever reason I want to withdraw, you withdraw. It won't be something which is otherwise abrupt. I mean, it may look abrupt to outer eyes because we don't know when what the psychic being decides. But the second part is that Ikshamrityu can also be given as a gift of grace. So we know that Bhishma Pitama's famous story of Ikshamrityu is because he had taken this vow that I will never marry, so I will never have a child. Why? Because he made this sacrifice for the sake of his father who wanted to marry Satyavati, and Satyavati's father had put a condition that only if her child becomes the heir of the throne, that she can marry. So Bhishma Pitama said, okay, I'll promise that I'll never become a heir of the throne. And then the father said, what if you marry and you have a child? So he said, okay, he took the vow that he will never marry. And at that point of time, the father was so overwhelmed, so much overtaken by this unique child's pratigya that he said, I bless you with ikshamrityu. So it can come as a gift of grace, it can come as a blessing also. So these are the two kinds of ikshamrityu. One is when the soul has been realized, it decides to leave. When does it decide? Either because the body has entered into such a condition that it can no more continue with the work that it had come to do. Men like Swami Vivekananda. Or because it has done what it had to do and knows that its work is over. Now, you know, it doesn't want to hang around for the sake of it and wants to go into other fields. And that we see, classic example is Shurbindu, where he took into himself what he had to take and then he goes into other fields to work from behind the scene. And the third is where it is given as a gift of grace. That also can happen. That is always possible. And that is the example we see in the life of Bhishma Pitama. Thank you. Does it answer?